Hello, everybody. It's Sam from Financial Samurai. And in this episode, I want to talk about personal lessons learned since the 2008 financial crisis. I can't believe it's been 10 years since the financial crisis. Lehman Brothers went bankrupt on September 15th, 2008. That was a Monday. And I remember that day clearly because I had made a $200 side bet with my friend over the weekend that the US government would bail them out. And to my surprise, and to most people's surprise, the US government didn't rescue Lehman at all. And the stock cratered that Monday and never recovered. It's really hard to describe what that moment was like because I was on the front lines, right? I was on the trading desk at a major Wall Street firm seeing a competitor and colleagues just getting blown out of the water. And we were just all shocked and in disbelief. Nothing was getting done that day. Nothing was getting done really for the next several months as we were just wondering, were we next? Were we next to go under? Nobody really knew how bad the books were, how bad the balance sheet was. And our firm, what we did was pretty smart. We never accepted any bailout money. What top management did was decide to pay our bonuses in the form of toxic assets that the bank had taken on with regards to mortgage-backed securities and all these random things. We had no idea what they were. And there's nothing really we could do because if we complain, well, management will say, well, you're fired or you're going to get laid off tomorrow. So everybody was like, okay, we're going to take this crap as part of our bonus because we're going to be, you know, one team, one dream. And it was really smart by management because they moved the crap assets from the company's balance sheet to the employee's balance sheet. So that was like a wise thing to do. But unfortunately, we never really got credit from Main Street. And we were just all painted in the same bad brush as banks that got bailed out by the government. So officially, my firm and I were never bailed out by the government, but we suffered the consequences all the same. And despite all the economic devastation, I wish I could rewind time. I'd rather be 31 than 41, simply because I love life and I want to live as many years as possible. So these 10 years are 10 years I'll never be able to get back, neither will you. And it's a shame because I had pretty much an amazing time. So here are some of the lessons I have learned since the financial crisis. I'll list 10 of them. 1. It's really hard to go all in, even when you know you should. Despite telling myself over and over again we were in the buying opportunity of a lifetime, I couldn't convince myself to invest much more than my usual 401k maximum because the world was falling apart. A couple dozen friends had been laid off, including my best friend at the time who worked at Lehman Brothers. I feared I might be next and would need as much cash as possible to hold me over just in case. In 2005, I had taken on a $1.2 million mortgage to buy a single family house. I already had around $380,000 in mortgage debt from the first property I bought in 2003. So with property prices in San Francisco falling about 20%, maybe 25%, along with the stock market, bankruptcy was a real possibility if I had lost my job. Therefore, I built a significant CD portfolio with most of my excess cash instead, and the best 5-year and 7-year CD rates were about 4.25% at the time, so I was thinking to myself, hey, that's not bad versus, you know, potentially losing 10, 20, 30, 40% of my money in the stock market. So I just aggressively saved, and I aggressively built a CD portfolio to hold me through. Now, obviously, as time went on, I started to invest more and more in the stock market, but not really until about 2012 did I start investing more than what I could in my 401k maximum. So the only things I really did right were keeping my job and not selling any real estate or stocks in the middle of the crisis. So I didn't take advantage, I just didn't sell. 2, chaos is a great motivator for change. I had been putting off starting Financial Samurai since 2006, but once the financial crisis hit, I decided to finally launch in the summer of 2009. You know, literally I was like twiddling my thumbs all the time, wondering, are we ever going to get out of this thing or not? And I was also thinking I needed a backup plan, right? Because I went to business school from 2003 to 2006. That was my backup plan for if the dot-com bubble didn't really ever recover, and it did take like 13 years to get back to even for the NASDAQ. So I didn't have any more backup plans in 2008 and 2009. So I just said, you know what? Let's just do this thing on the side and see what happens. I also decided it was time to finally get married. I had known my wife since college, and she would be turning 28 in 2008. And for some reason, 28 always stuck in my head as the perfect age for her to get married. And further, I also wanted to focus on my career until 30 to see how far I could get. And I was 31 at the time. So I was like, well, I think it's a good time to get married. So the difficult times of 2008 wanted me to hold on to her even more. I remember talking to her many times, and I said, you know what? Even if we were deserted on a island and there's nobody around, if we had each other, everything would be just fine. So I could lose everything, but I couldn't lose her. And relationships were more important than money back then, and they are more important than money today. It is very consistent here. Three, you gain a tremendous amount of confidence and expertise in 10 years. Previously, I had always been embarrassed to ever say I was an expert in anything. With always so much to learn, how could I ever claim to have expertise in this ever-changing world? But once I turned 32, I felt I had developed some expertise in the Asian equities markets. And now that I'm in the 10th year of building Financial Samurai, I have no problem believing and saying I have expertise in digital media. I'm always impressed with, 20-something-year-old folks who say they are experts in millennial finance or experts in XYZ anything. Because I'm like, well, didn't you just graduate from college at the age of 22 or maybe 23? How can you be an expert in something so quickly? So on the one hand, it's really nice to see people own their expertise, even if they're not experts. On the other hand, I really think there's a lot of fake it till you make it, because I'm just looking at their expertise and I'm just shaking my head thinking, gosh, pity the fool who's going to work with this person to get any advice or any product or knowledge from this person. It just kind of boggles my mind, frankly. So really, when you look at someone, I would say see if they have at least 10 years of experience. It's really after about 10 years where you firmly grasp that which you've been doing for so long. Before 10 years, I think people are just faking it, frankly. But that's my opinion. So because of this 10 years of experience, I also no longer fear financial ruin. If Financial Samurai shuts down and all my passive income goes away, I know I can get a job back in finance or financial technology or online marketing. The base pay range would be about $150,000 to $250,000, and there'd be stock options, which I would not count on, and therefore my family would be fine. Age discrimination is no longer a fear either. That was something that I was always wondering about when I was in my 20s or 30s. Instead, you realize experience makes you incredibly valuable, and once you've been able to earn an income by yourself for so many years, nothing's going to get in your way again. Four, the more things change, the more things stay the same. I met many, many disgruntled people before 2008 who complained about the government, high taxes, inequality, racism, bigotry, sexism, and more. I also met lots of people who told me about their days as dot-com millionaires in 2000, including the guy at work who made my breakfast bagel each morning. 10 years later, we still have the same complaints. Yet instead of losing money in dot-com stocks, it's losing money in cryptocurrencies. Instead of hearing complaints about other people's problems in person, complaints are simply magnified, amplified all over social media ad nauseum. You're either going to let things get to you, or you're going to do something to change your dissatisfaction. Just think about how much you could accomplish if you worked for one extra hour a year for 10 years. We're talking about 3,650 hours of extra productivity to learn a new language, to build a business, to become an expert at work, or make a difference in a child's life. So, decide that you are going to change and good things will happen. Five, you'll regret more the things you don't do than the things you try. This is a saying that my 56-year-old mailman at the time told me, explained to me when he was telling me about all the things he wished he did when he was my age. And guess what? During the financial crisis, after about 10 years of working with the firm, he got let go, and he was only making about $40,000 a year. So in other words, my firm decided to let go of one of the lowest income-earning laborers who also needed money the most, and that really, really made me sad and pissed off, actually. As a result, I was really motivated, motivated to negotiate a severance and get the hell out because I felt like there was no loyalty. You just take things personally if your friends and the people you care about at work get let go. So that was a point where I was like, you know what? Screw this. It's time for me to leave. The one regret I do have is that I didn't take this work opportunity to move back to New York City with a big pay raise. An upstart firm had offered me a 50% bump in salary for 2 years guaranteed. Now, who knows if they would have honored the second year guarantee if I had underperformed, but I'll always be left wondering what if, because I was just a little too comfortable at my job and used my house and the mortgage as an excuse to stay in San Francisco. Given I left my job 2 years later, not getting that last bit of extra cash was a mistake. However, on the flip side, I just remember this, by staying at my old employer, I was able to negotiate a really, really nice severance that paid for about 6 years of living expenses, so maybe it wasn't that bad. 6. Even if you see the future, it's hard to take advantage. During the first year after leaving, I wasn't entirely sure leaving was the right thing to do, so I kept in contact with colleagues, met with recruiters, spoke to ex-competitors, and applied to various tech startup jobs online. Here was my chance to potentially try something new in tech and internet 2.0, right? San Francisco golden age, without worrying about earning maximum income. So one of the first places I applied to was Airbnb. This is 2012, folks, because I thought it would be a big hit. I thought it was a no-brainer, but I didn't even get a chance to interview because I was rejected through this nice email rejection letter. A couple months later, after I had applied and got rejected, Airbnb raised money valuing them at $2.5 billion. Wow, that's a lot. And if I had been able to get a job there with, let's say, $200,000 of equity and stay for the full 4-year vesting period, that equity would be worth roughly $3 million today. $3 million, since Airbnb is valued now at $38 billion and probably more once it goes public in 2019. So I'd be rich. Alas, no such luck. In fact, I applied to probably over 200 different tech and startup jobs online in 2012 because it was part of my unemployment benefits requirement. They said in order to get unemployment benefits, you had to apply, I think it was like to at least 10 jobs, 5 jobs a week. So that's what I did. Given I couldn't find a good fit, I decided that it was my destiny to remain unemployed forever. 7. You have more abilities and strength than you realize. So even though I wasn't able to get a single full-time tech or startup job offer, really, I wasn't able to, I was fine with the rejections because I wanted to fully experience this new life with Financial Samurai. The rejections gave me comfort knowing that at least I tried to find something. Now I could move on with no regrets. Financial Samurai's growth has actually exceeded Airbnb's growth so far, but with the added benefit of pure control and autonomy. I learned how to mix creativity with sharing practical financial knowledge. Before then, I was so restricted in what I could write due to compliance, it was so infuriating. I also learned I had more endurance than I had thought possible. I mean, seriously, I would never have imagined being able to write 3 times a week for almost 10 years in a row. That's kind of nuts. Also, I learned how to do some podcasting. Still a work in progress, but it's going. Whatever you think your limits are, know that you're probably utilizing less than 50% of your potential. It's only when you're hanging off a cliff with one arm will you find your true inner might to pull yourself up. 8. Time fixes and breaks everything at the same time. Even if you had gone all in the day the S&P 500 peaked on July 1st, 2007, despite losing about 50% by October 2008, you'd still be up about 90% if you held on to today, and closer to 150% with the dividend reinvestments. So it's really hard to lose money in the S&P 500 over a 10-year period. Real estate, on the other hand, not as clear. After 11 years, I'm pretty sure my Lake Tahoe vacation condo is still 20% below what I had bought it for because the condo hotel mortgage market dried up. The property is cash flow positive at my higher valuation, but people aren't able to buy as easily as before because they just can't get loans. These past 10 years of playing sports have truly taken a toll on my body. My left knee feels like it may have permanent ITB TFL damage. while my right shoulder clicks with every motion. It's probably like a torn labia. I don't know what that is. Lower back is always constantly sore. It's really sad to no longer be able to move like I once did. So I want everybody to cherish your health and actually spend some time doing more yoga, doing more stretching, and not going crazy on the field, because hey, you're getting older now and recovery time is slower, and it's just not worth getting injured. I'm very lucky also that nobody I'm close to has passed away during this time period. But I'm not so sure the same can be said over the next 10 years. 9, and finally, there is no 10. 9, being wealthier won't make you happier. Most of us have more than doubled our wealth since the previous peak in 2007. But do we feel much happier? I venture to guess that most of us are no. I don't feel happier because I was never an unhappy person to begin with. I've always been a 7.5 to 8 out of 10 for my steady happiness state. I will occasionally shoot to a 10 when amazing events such as the birth of my son happen, but that elevated level of happiness never lasts. Instead of stressing over doing well with a work client, now I stress over whether my boy will be all right every time he starts crying for no reason. There's a helplessness I feel as a father when I can't make him instantly feel better. It's the darndest thing. You go through this checklist like, wet diaper, hungry, thirsty, boogers up his nose, all these things, oh, maybe a stomach problem or teething, and you go check, 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 and he's still not happy? Feel kind of bad. So that's the worry. Instead of worrying about whether I'll get promoted, I worry about whether I can continue providing for my family without burning out for the next 20 years. Because seriously, folks, I was thinking, 2019, the 10-year anniversary of Financial Samurai, could be the time to call it quits. I've had a good 10-year run. I have been able to see what I could do with my own two hands. And if I sell the site, I think I would be okay with that. Because 10 years is much longer than the average time someone spends on any project. But now I'm thinking, maybe I should keep Financial Samurai going. I probably should for the next 20 years because I can use it to record a lot of events for my son to listen to and to read as he gets older. So he'll know really what his dad and his mom are like. I can also use Financial Samurai to teach him how to write better, to speak better, to communicate better, to learn about online marketing, better copywriting, SEO, all these funny things that probably will be really, really important for younger folks nowadays. And if you were not able to get a job after high school or college, hey, well, we have Financial Samurai for him to work on. He could be my editor, maybe, or he can be the digital marketer, or the PR person, or the CFO, or a writer. There are endless amount of things he could do. But in order to do that, I've got to keep this site going for at least, I would say, 15 years. I would say by the time he's 16 years old, he's going to want to know whether this is good or not, something he wants to pursue. And if not, that's cool. But just knowing that I have to grind for that many more years really is a little bit tiring. So back to being wealthier won't make you happier. It's true, folks. Well, thanks to having more money, I do appreciate not having to stress about getting a $110 parking ticket or having to eat less food to save on expenses. But I've also become accustomed to such convenience and therefore can't help but take my wealth for granted. And I think this is human nature. You just take any good thing for granted. And that's why relationships break down. That's why people start slacking off at work or their business. So the only thing I found to be helpful in combating this sloth is to constantly show gratitude or volunteer to help others and to write things out. So that's another reason why I want to keep on going with Financial Samurai, to just chronicle this journey, to never take things for granted, because I am. I suggest starting a gratitude journal as well, folks. So it is unlikely the stock market and real estate market will perform as well over the next 10 years as it has over the previous 10 years. But that's okay if you've been able to really grow your net worth and income during this recovery, right? So if you've doubled or tripled or quadrupled your net worth, maybe you don't need 10% growth anymore. Maybe 5% growth is okay. And if you expect 4 or 5% growth a year for the next 10 years, I think that's pretty reasonable. Over the next 10 years, I plan to focus most of my time on being a more present father. My hope is that my investments stay far, far in the background so I don't have to think about it or stress about it at all. I've come to the conclusion that my time for trying to build a fortune is over. I went through a lot of stress for 13 years working in finance to build a small fortune so I could leave. And then now I've almost spent 10 years building Financial Samurai, so I don't have to really stress about worrying about my passive income going away. But I'm really tired, folks. And if it wasn't for my son, I don't know how much more I would last. I plan to keep this ship going, so I'll keep on writing and keep on podcasting on Financial Samurai. In the meantime, I want to make sure my family really, really enjoys life for the next 10 years. I don't want to be writing this post at age 51 and saying, I wish I took more adventures. I've got until the summer of 2020 to get all my ducks in a row. Then it's goodbye San Francisco and hello Hawaii or some other wonderful place in the world. Thanks so much everyone for listening. I'd love to learn what you have learned since the 2008 financial crisis in the comments below.